Welcome to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Marty's got the day off today. Earlier this week, I was emerging from the subway station at 8th and Market in Philadelphia, where you can find SEPTA's Market Frankford Line, the Broad Street Spur, and Petco. The steps descending to the station are steep, and an elderly woman had stopped on a step midway down and was hesitant to go any farther. She just could not move. A passerby offered an arm to help her, and I heard another ask, "Why don't you use the elevator?" Her answer was she wasn't sure it was working. Just one moment in a busy day in which thousands of people successfully use the regional transit system to get to where they're going, but the woman and her obvious discomfort stood out. Jason Lachlan reports on transportation for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he wrote in a recent article, "The Philadelphia region has the bones of a great transit system, but one expert who recently looked at the region bemoaned what it could be. There are significant efforts underway to move SEPTA forward, including a redesign of its bus network, and of course there's SEPTA Key, which has had its share of ups and downs. This hour will take a comprehensive look at the Philly Metro Transit system, where it's going, as including the regional rails, Patco, and even New Jersey's River Line." Jason Lachlan of the Inquirer is in studio with us. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Saxo reports on transportation for Plan Philly. Nice to see you again as well, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
And Christoph Spieler, the expert reference just a moment ago, joins us as well. Christoph is author of Trains, Buses, People, an Opinionated Atlas of U.S. Transit. And nice to have you with us, Christoph.
Happy to be here.
I should also mention that we did reach out to SEPTA, and we will have a representative from SEPTA on in the very near future. And as always, the number to call if you would like to join the conversation is 888-477-9499. If you use public transportation, let us know about what more you would like to see from SEPTA, the regional rails, Patco, whatever it is. Call us, or you can send us an email, radiotimes at whyy.org, or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. So let's begin with a brief characterization of the Philadelphia region's public transportation system. Christoph, first to you, you have examined for your book systems across the country. How does Philly compare?
Well, I'd say, first of all, the city itself as a city is a very transit-friendly city. There's a very strong downtown, a lot of good walkable neighborhoods. It's the kind of place where transit can work really well. And, you know, as of World War II, the Philadelphia area really had one of the strongest pieces of transit infrastructure in the United States. But what I really noticed is that after that, over the last 50 years, other than the regional rail tunnel in downtown Philly, there really hasn't been much done to improve that system. And so you have a region that has real transit needs, but is sort of subsisting on legacy infrastructure that in some cases is not in very good shape, and in a lot of cases isn't providing the kind of service that the city really needs.
Jim Saxo, if you had to use a few words to describe Philly's transit system, what would they be?
Oh, wow. I'd probably say good bones, but a lot that you can improve. You know, like Christoph just said, we have a structure that's in place that it's pretty solid, but there are some small things that I think a lot of people would want to see. You know, increasing the frequency on regional rail would do a lot to really start moving people around. SEPTA, I know, is looking to expand its system. There's a project underway to extend the Media Elwin line to Wawa. They want to expand to King of Prussia. There's talk of expanding this Broad Street Line subway to the Navy Yard. Those are all projects that would be pretty good, but you know, there are other things that could be done to really improve things. I think what's really important to focus on is that the subway moves the most people and the buses are a close second. So we should be really focusing on the buses, which, to be fair to SEPTA, they are doing right now. They are looking to overhaul their entire bus network.
And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Jason, I just want your impressions as well.
Yeah, I think Jim's description is very apt. One of the things that I think you see when you look at a big system like SEPTA, like Philadelphia has, is you've got those big projects that Jim just mentioned, But then you've got the woman who maybe can't access the subway because the elevators aren't working. So something that the average regional rail passenger, for instance, isn't really thinking about most of the time is a large number of the platforms on that system are not wheelchair accessible. They have the high steps to reach the train. So you have an accessibility issue there. And then on top of that, that actually slows down the system as a whole, because every time the train stops at one of those low platform stations, the conductors have to open up a hatch and make the stairways accessible. So in a very incremental way, that slows down the system every time it happens. So you have to make choices. Do you want to spend a lot of money on an extension to the Navy Yard, or do you want to increase the rate at which you're improving your platforms, which isn't very sexy and exciting, but it actually does make a difference both for people who have a hard time getting on the trains and in general for on-time performance.
Jim, you referenced just a moment ago the overhaul of the bus network, and mm-hmm. I'd like to get to Christoph for a moment, because Christoph, you were behind a major redesign of the bus network in Houston, and here in Philly, SEPTA officials are taking a page from that book. But briefly, Christoph, if you could, just tell us what happened in Houston. What did that redesign look like?
So basically what we did is, what transit systems usually do is they just tweak. You take the routes you have, you change them a little bit, you change them a little bit, you change them a little bit. Most of the Philadelphia route system is more than 50 years old in its basic structure. And we just said, what if you took a blank sheet of paper and really rethought the entire system? And what that allowed us to do is a system that is much simpler, that has many more frequent routes, because we've mentioned already that frequency is key to this, having transit where you can show up, not look at a schedule, just know it's coming along. A system that did much better at getting people to places other than downtown, which especially for a lot of service jobs is critical, and a system with much better midday and weekend service. And I think Philadelphia really has that potential. And regional rail has been mentioned. I think the two topics actually go together, because one of the things about Philadelphia is you have this amazing infrastructure of this regional rail system that, first of all, has remarkably little service on it. There are light rail lines across the United States serving areas that are considerably less dense than the SEPTA regional rail line serve, that have trains every 15 minutes or 10 minutes all day long. Whereas on SEPTA, you might have a train once an hour in the middle of the day. The demand is there for a lot more service. And secondly, I think there's really a potential to integrate the system. If regional rail had the same fare structures as buses, and if transfers were free, which is a big deal, a lot of bus riders would actually be able to take advantage of that regional rail network to make their trips faster. And I think there would also be a real potential to do more crosstown bus routes, which would connect to that system, but also serve those trips that aren't headed downtown. So I think one of the real things holding SEPTA back is the idea that regional rail is this totally different creature for a totally different set of people, rather than an integrated part of a multimodal transit network.
Is SEPTA taking a hard look at transfer fees? Are they on the way out?
It sounds like they are, yeah. The person that did the consulting with Houston for Christoph's project, SEPTA hired him, Jarrett Walker, to do an analysis of SEPTA's system. And one of his first recommendations was you have to get rid of transfer fees. The kind of network that they did in Houston that we may emulate to some degree depends significantly on transfers and buses that go in straight lines. So you catch a bus that's hitting a right angle to your bus, get on that bus. And for that system to work and to be appealing to riders, they have to get rid of transfer fees.
Let's talk about frequency of trips. Jim, my son was working a late shift for quite a while, and he had to catch the Broad Street line and had to wait forever, 1 o'clock in the morning, to get a train. Is there a need, do you know, from your reporting in this area, to increase overnight trips, to increase midday shifts, to increase the, midday trips during, say, the middle of the day or on the weekends?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the other things Jarrett Walker really recommended in his studies, that you need to increase the off-peak, you know, not the, just the rush hour frequency, but the frequency at those other hours. One of the, you know, big changes that's happened in the U.S. economy over the last 30-some-odd years has been that people are working less regular hours. And because of that, you need to provide access to, you know, ways to get to work on those off hours. Also, a large part of Philadelphia's appeal is that we have a vibrant nightlife, and, you know, being able to get home from the bars or the restaurants in a reasonable manner is very important. Yeah.
If I could kind of jump on board with that, one of the things that's really interesting, SEPTA's bus system has been significantly losing ridership the past few years. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's a significant number of daily riders that are falling off. And that's happening in those off-peak hours, which is really interesting. The 9-to-5 commuter is still using the bus, but people who are in between that during the day, in the evenings, they're not anymore. I did a story on this last year, and a lot of the people I interviewed said, yeah, I'll use the bus to get to work, but if I'm going out at night, if I want to get into Center City, why would I wait half an hour for a bus when I can take an Uber that'll show up at my door?
Wow.
So SEPTA's now competing directly with door-to-door personal car service. That's cheap. It's almost as cheap as taking public transportation now, which is, I think, very intentional on the rideshare company's parts. They are pricing to compete with public transit.
So, Christoph, in Houston, how did the public transit system deal with the competition from Uber and Lyft and other rideshare entities?
I think we're thing to some degree, but we are actually growing ridership. And Houston and Seattle have been the only large systems in the United States which are gaining riders while most other systems lose it. I that discussion we just had is exactly right. If you want to grow transit ridership, you need to make transit useful to people. And that's people up and down the economic spectrum. I think we have a tendency to think, you know, there's some group of people who can only ever afford transit and they'll never use a car. Even they have other options. So if you provide service that's predictable, that's easy to understand, that's reasonably quick, that's reliable, people will use it. And if you don't provide that, if your experience of riding is, I have no idea when my bus is coming, I have to wait a long time, I have no idea how long this trip will take, I have no idea when I will get there, you're going to be looking at other options. And I think it's important to realize that a lot of that experience isn't just SEPTA-driven. This is the city of Philadelphia and all the other cities as well. Like, what is the bus stop experience like? How reliable that bus ride is going to have a lot to do with whether you have dedicated lanes or traffic signal priority or how the streets are managed in general. And I think one of the things that Lyft and Uber and other things are also doing is adding to congestion. And that's one of the big things that's happened to transit across the United States is you actually, as we need transit more, you see places get more congested, which makes the transit worse.
Have we seen that happen in Philadelphia recently? Yeah, Jim?
No, that's absolutely happened. SEPTA's buses have, over the last couple of years, slowed down 1% every year. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but multiply it by a couple million trips and it starts to add up. Traffic through Center City is worse. And city officials do suggest that it is Uber and Lyft adding to the number of cars. And also, you know, they have a pretty annoying habit of stopping mid-block and blocking traffic on some of the flows. But, you know, I think the larger point about this is, you know, the competition thing, the certainty that rideshare gives you that you don't have when you wait for the bus outside in the cold.
All right, more in just a moment. You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. We're talking about issues with public transit, including subways, buses, and the regional rails, what changes are in the works, and more. Our guests, Jim Sachs, a transportation reporter for Plan Philly, Jason Laughlin is transportation reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Christoph Spieler is author of Trains, Buses, People. Stay with us. We'll have more in just a moment. Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan in for Marty Moskowain. In this hour, we're discussing some of the biggest issues facing the Philadelphia transportation system. Christoph Spieler is director of planning at Heward Zollars in Houston. He was also a member of the Houston Metro Board, and he's author of Trains, Buses, People. Jason Laughlin is transportation reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jim Sachs, a transportation reporter for Plan Philly. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 888-477-9499 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We've got many comments in already. We're going to get to those in just a moment. But Christoph, you're a member of the Houston Metro Board. Just tell us how the decision to rework the bus network in Houston was made with the board and the possible political ramifications that come from such, you know, significant decision making.
Yeah, I mean, pulling something like this off is really hard. And what it took in Houston is it took political leadership, in particular the mayor of Houston, Denise Parker, who was hugely supportive. It took a board that was really behind this and, like I often said, was willing to get yelled at sometimes to get it done. And it took a really good staff and a really good consulting team. And I know Philadelphia has at least some of those elements, but the most critical thing to me is really explaining to the public what problem you're trying to solve. We were very clear about we are trying to make the experience of riding the system better. And I also think it's important to be ambitious enough. I actually think it was a lot easier to pull this off as redoing the entire system at once than it would have been if we had just taken it one route at a time, because it meant that the benefits were enough for the inconveniences that some people definitely got out of it. You can't do a change this big without negatively affecting some people's trips. And that's a really, that's an important thing to be serious about. All right.
Well, both Jim and Jason are nodding their heads as you're saying this. Gentlemen, who loses in a major overhaul?
Well, I don't know who loses. Well, the people that have a bus that is underutilized, but they rely on the empty bus riders, those guys are probably going to lose out in this overhaul. But just thinking about the politics here, what Houston did reminds me of something Eisenhower used to say, which is if you can't fix a problem, make it bigger. And that's what they did. But that takes a little bit of political courage. And it looks like the city is thinking about doing that. But at the same time, Mayor Kenney, who has been really bold on a lot of different issues, has seemed reluctant to tackle this one head on. And so when the big changes do emerge, I don't know how much political cover they're going to be willing to give in City Hall.
Jason, let's talk about money for just a moment. Act 89, for a long time, Harrisburg was kind of stingy,
frankly.
When it came to funding public transportation in the Philly area. Then Act 89 came along, created an oil company franchise tax, which gave SEPTA a nice chunk of change, $350 million, a year for capital projects?
Yep.
But, you know, just a few years, SEPTA stands to lose an awful lot of money because Turnpike funds dry up for public transit.
Right. There's been a tradition of Turnpike money being paid to PennDOT. I think it's about $450 million a year. SEPTA gets, I want to say, 75% of that, a very large portion. And that $450 million is going to drop down to $50 million a year in 2022. So SEPTA is now looking at how do we prepare for this and how do we essentially develop another sort of revenue source to make up what we're going to lose from the Turnpike money.
And Governor Wolf has said recently that he's not happy, I'm paraphrasing here, with the fact that Turnpike tolls are going up every year. So, and I think he, if I read this article correctly, he believes there's bipartisan support for a new system, which went unspecified in the article.
Yeah,
so that could change.
The Turnpike's finances are a mess, and they have been for pretty much forever. The system itself is in a wash in debt, and so there are people looking at that money going away and going straight into SEPTA, and they're questioning why that's happening. But to get at the point, I think what SEPTA is looking at right now, there's a small groundswell of support for the idea of some sort of regional tax, of convincing Harrisburg to give the SEPTA region, the five-county area, the ability to raise taxes, or convincing each of the individual counties to raise raise taxes on their own. And now that's very difficult. You get a lot of like free rider issues. Are all of them going to pony up, or all of them going to approve it? But they're looking at that. Compared to other cities and other regions, we don't spend a lot of our money locally. Most of the money comes from the state. Perhaps because of that, SEPTA's capital budget is about half that of peer agencies.
All right. Let's get to the phones as promised. Joe in Philadelphia, welcome to Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have something that has not been brought up by your guests. It's Philadelphia's trolley system in West Philadelphia. It goes from 40th Street down into the center of town underground. It feeds five lines that spread out like a hand with all its fingers through West Philadelphia far out to like 72nd Street. And I was at a city event recently that consultants to SEPTA talked about changing those lines in a significant way that would impact very negatively on people who use the line. I was surprised. They're talking about building platforms every few blocks, stopping the trolleys instead of every block, every few blocks, larger trolleys that would run less frequently. I mean, it seemed like they were talking about fixing a problem that really didn't exist at a great cost to the riders for interruption of service and also the money involved. Do you know about this project to change the West Philadelphia trolley system to something that would be less serviceable to the people?
Well, we were actually, thank you for bringing that up, because we were going to get into this. I think it's $1 billion proposed overhaul of the trolley system. And by the way, Joe, thank you so much for the call to Radio Times. That's in the works, but not happening as we speak.
The money isn't there right now. It's an interesting perspective hearing from a rider. The trolleys happen to be my personal favorite mode of transportation in the city. I think they're really unique, and SEPTA has the largest trolley network in the country because of the tunnel that Joe mentioned. Buses can't navigate it, so they couldn't abandon it like most American cities did when they switched over to buses from trolleys. What SEPTA's talking about doing in the big picture would be very positive. One of the main things is it would make all the trolleys wheelchair accessible. Right now, most of the trolleys in the city are high platformed. The proposal would be lower platformed, more light rail like vehicles. And this is what he mentioned is exactly where the problems come in when you talk about altering networks. Because yes, some people would lose their stops. Some of the recommendations would be maybe half as many stops on some of these trolley lines, which means they're going to move faster. They're actually maybe more frequent. But he's right. If your stop is, you know, a couple feet away from your door, if this gets updated, then that may not be the case anymore. So this is the give and take. You create maybe a faster, maybe a more efficient system that moves people more quickly through the city, but you do create inconvenience for some riders and maybe a lot of riders.
Let me, Christoph, I know we have to let you go in a couple seconds, but you say bring back the Route 23 trolley. Why?
Well, and I would say I don't see that as specifically as what's interesting is right now across the United States, a lot of cities are building streetcars, whereas Philadelphia actually shrunk its network. And I think that on high ridership routes, and I think the subway service trolleys are like that, modern streetcars can actually do a lot of good. But for them to be good, the level boarding is a huge benefit. Having dedicated lanes is a huge benefit. Having some traffic signal priority is a huge benefit. I think if the West Philadelphia project is done right, I think it could really improve the experience of riding that, make trips faster, make boarding easier, make it more accessible to more people. And I think Philadelphia has the potential to do that on other former streetcar lines as well, to really create something that is better than a typical local bus. But I don't think that's a matter of just restoring the streetcars as they used to be. I think that would be a matter of significant upgrades, like are talked about for West Philadelphia. And that, again, goes to this funding issue. Is the funding there to really improve the system, or is the funding just there to maintain the system that exists?
Now, Christoph Spieler, thank you so much for joining us for Radio Times.
Thank you.
Christoph is author of Trains, Buses, People, an Opinionated Atlas of Transit. And Jim, it looks like you wanted to respond to what Christoph was saying right there.
Yeah, I think the people who want to bring back the 23 trolley are just rail fans. They just like trains. It doesn't make any sense. Germantown Avenue, which is the main corridor that it runs down, is too narrow to give a dedicated track to that. You'd have to limit car traffic or get rid of parking. And, you know, some people hate the idea of parking in general and think we have too much of it in the city, but a lot of the businesses on that corridor rely on people driving nearby and would resist it. It would be politically suicidal to even try it. It doesn't make any sense. They should rip up the tracks, get rid of them, and make it a little bit safer and more pleasant for people to ride bikes and drive on it. It's just not sensible.
And again, overall, with the trolley system or trolley overhaul, we're looking at $1 billion project. And, you know, where's the money?
Right. And, you know, I think it's interesting to note that Christoph, who has that recommendation, that is completely contrary to what Jared Walker recommended, which was there's the Route 15 trolley runs on Girard Avenue, and that does not use the tunnel at all. It's entirely a surface route.
Yep.
And he said, get rid of it. He said, make that a bus, get rid of the trolleys there. Because as Jim mentioned, a fixed rail system like that, any obstacle shuts the system down completely. I've ridden
on that
trolley. A
car that might be parked too close to the track.
Exactly. Yeah. And suddenly you're sitting there for 15 minutes because a truck's rear end is sticking out into your right of way.
All right, let's get to some of these comments. Rob, comments on Facebook regarding SEPTA elevators. Yes, they do not. They do not look as if they work. They are a mess and they are just plain disgusting. It would be nice if they were cleaned once every 10 years. And yes, you know, cleanliness can be an issue, as we all know, with some of these stations. Question from Rochelle. It seems to me that SEPTA is often considerably delayed by things it should be able to predict or handle. For example, trolleys often get stuck behind garbage trucks, which Jason just referenced. I've also waited an hour for a regional rail line that was late because of wet leaves on the track. What gives? And an email from JD, SEPTA should consider having bus routes that go from places like South Philadelphia into University City. So we've got a little potpourri going there. And again, I do want to mention that we will have SEPTA on in the near future. They just weren't able to make it today. But any reaction to some of the comments?
Yeah, I think SEPTA gets sort of like SEPTA is sort of like cops and schools. People expect them to fix a lot of societal problems that are sort of out of the purview. Like the reason why some of the stations are gross and disgusting is because, honestly, we have people living out of there and people using, you know, back alleys in the stations as a bathroom. Like that's a problem that's larger than SEPTA. We don't have enough public bathrooms, so maybe a couple of public bathrooms would be a good move.
Again, is that something for city government to handle? Because at times when I've come out of, say, you know, the station I mentioned earlier on in the show, and frankly, the smell of urine just kind of hits you really hard, I thought, you know, we've got a lot of visitors from other countries to this beautiful city, and yet, wow, what a welcome. Should that be something that needs to be addressed more aggressively?
Yeah, I would like to see something like that. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's like a that significant of change. It's installing a couple bathrooms. I don't know. You know, running a couple plumbing lines. But we get that issue. It's really difficult to coordinate with the, God, we have something like over 1,000 trash trucks, right? And like trying to coordinate that with any sort of like traffic, that's basically impossible. So like, and I think another key thing is, I don't want to sound like a SEPTA apologist, but really much better run than some of the peers. Again, half of the capital funding for maintenance and improvements. But you look at the, you know, what's happening in New York City, they're shutting down lines for like weeks. You look at what's happening in DC, same thing. You know, you want people to get really angry, talk about building a, you know, light streetcar line that doesn't work, no one uses, you know, that's DC's story. Mm. Like, you know, so like for all the criticism, you know, and it is annoying and it's terrible when your commute gets ruined, they do a pretty solid job.
Yeah. I think one of the more positive things that seems to be happening in Philadelphia to me right now is you had mentioned whose problem is it? And it seems like, and neither Jim nor I have been doing transportation for that long. I think 4 years for you and 3 years for me. But what I see happening is a lot more cooperation between the city and SEPTA in the past year. Specifically on the issue of homelessness, SEPTA created a Hub of Hope kind of services center in Suburban Station. So instead of saying, no, this isn't our problem, we're a transit agency, or the city saying, no, this isn't our problem, Suburban Station is your property, they worked together and they came up with this alternative that is better than what had been there. I see the city being really aggressive in driving this bus network redesign. And I don't think that sort of cooperation and collaboration and kind of blurring of the lines was happening when we first started covering Philadelphia transportation.
Oh, fair enough. Back to the phones we go. Brian in Philadelphia, you're next. Hi, Brian.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I just have a quick question. Has SEPTA ever thought about kind of modeling themselves for funding off of New York in terms of tolling what I'll call the within Philadelphia city limits bridges, like the Platte Bridge or the 95 Bridge or the Schuylkill River, et cetera. And that was my only question. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
So that would make a lot of sense, but is not a political reality that's going to happen, because those bridges are all run by different authorities that are co-set up between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It actually requires an act of Congress to set those up. But you know, when you look at the system, one of the reasons why PATCO is probably one of the best run transit lines in the cities, because it's subsidized heavily by the four bridges run by the Delaware River Port Authority, the Ben Franklin, Walt Whitman, Commodore Barry, and I'm blanking on one, but some other one.
Betsy Ross?
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. And all that toll money, like a large chunk of it goes to supporting that. And the DRPA in the past has been used as a piggy bank for pretty questionable economic development projects. And, you know, probably will be looked at that again, because none of the reforms to prevent that have ever actually been enacted. But like what would make sense and is not something anyone's actually looking at would be to fold that into SEPTA and maybe the river line too, and create a really regional system. We're not as bad as, say, San Francisco, where you know, they're all of the individual transit lines are completely separate from one another, but we're not nearly as coordinated as a New York or you know, the DC area. Actually, it's a greater regional metro system that coordinates pretty well.
Jim, you referenced the river line, New Jersey's river line, and I was going to ask Christoph about this. He had said, he called it an ill-conceived line. And I think, it, you know, in his writings, he was talking about the fact that these little river towns that run, that are in between Camden and Trenton, there just aren't that many, you know, there's not a great population. So that said, though, it is exceeding expectations for ridership. So what do you think? Is it something that's working? And I've ridden that line before. It's not expensive. It's inexpensive, and it seems to run on time and fairly, you know, clean. And
it is slow, though. It's a very, very slow route. And I think the money could have been put elsewhere. I think a line into Gloucester County has been talked about, and that might have been a better investment.
All right. We're talking about regional transportation with Jason Laughlin, transportation reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Jim Saxa, transportation reporter for Plan Philly. If you'd like to join us, the number is 888-477-9499. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. This is Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. We are talking about issues with public transit this hour, including subways, buses, and the regional rails, and what changes are in store. Our guests this hour, Jason Laughlin, transportation reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also, Jim Saxa, also in studio, transportation reporter for Plan Philly. And we've got calls and comments coming in to 888-477-9499, or you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We got an email from Matt who asks, is SEPTA's emphasis of larger capacity buses and trolleys really a goal to reduce personnel? It actually seems counterproductive to have to having more frequent, quicker, convenient service. Their larger buses already have trouble negotiating many of the turns. What do you think, Jason?
I think reducing staffing would be tough for SEPTA. The union with SEPTA is pretty strong. As we went through a strike 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a strike that worked. The workers got a lot of what they were looking for. They're protected from layoffs, mass layoffs. I mean, interestingly, SEPTA, because of the key system, which I think we wanted to talk about in a bit, really no longer needs the people that were selling tokens in booths. But they, rather than reduce staff, they said, okay, now these people are going to be ambassadors, or they're going to do other tasks. So I have not heard anything about a staff reduction being in the cards for SEPTA.
Mm. Right, we're expecting some double-decker rail cars on the regional rails, Jim?
Yeah, SEPTA's
reminiscent of London, maybe, and tall buses?
Yeah, well, we can't do the buses because we have too many low overhangs. But yeah, on the couple of the regional rail lines, they're going to do multi-level cars, sort of like what you see on the MARC, and I think New Jersey Transit has a few of them as well. And that will increase the capacity on a lot of these overtaxed regional rail lines, where even though they don't run as frequent, you know, it's standing room only every morning. The SEPTA's looking to purchase, I think, up to 55. They have an option there. And that'll help relieve some of the congestion. One of the issues is that, you know, SEPTA will be using some of them to replace some of their older rail cars that are coming to the end of their useful life. And what would probably be even better would be to increase the frequency. But in order to do that, SEPTA is really constrained by a couple things. One is just having room at the end of the day, at overnight, to store all these things. You know, the rail yards are constrained. And also, a lot of the lines that SEPTA uses on Region Rail, they're borrowing from Amtrak. And Amtrak takes priority and will bump them out of the way. And so, just like a regular street, if there are too many people trying to use it at once, you know, you get jammed up and you can't run as many as you'd want.
Kyle has sent us an email asking, is it possible to fund a public transportation system without taxing other modes of transport? Are there any examples?
That's a good question. I did a story a couple of weeks ago, right before the midterm elections, with there were some Democrats from Congress that were saying, if we retake the House, which happened, we want a robust transportation bill. We want to pass a big transportation package. One of the sources of money they talked about was tolling federally funded highways. They talked about a vehicle miles traveled tax rather than a gas tax, which right now is the basis for a lot of transportation funding, is just inadequate because cars are becoming more fuel efficient. And,
yeah.
The money's got to come from somewhere. I don't know that there's any way to develop that kind of money without taking it from some new sources.
And I do think it's important to note that all forms of transportation are getting subsidized in some way. We pay a lot of money to maintain our roads, and I don't own a car. I don't really use the highways, but I'm paying my taxes, and it goes into that. So the idea that transit is mooching off of other modes, I think, is a little specious. I think really what we're talking about is all of us pay taxes and how to use that money the most efficiently to get the most bang out of your buck.
Okay.
We had Christoph, who was on earlier in his book, had said that other countries, Europe particularly, treats public transit the way we treat roads. Nobody says, well, why do I have to pay for the highways?
Sure.
I don't use them. It's just an understood that we need a functioning highway system. And other countries treat public transit the same way.
I'd like to check in about the key card. There have been some ups and downs with the key card. Recently, Jason, a large number of bus riders were unintentionally treated to some free rides. Has this been ironed out?
Yeah, this is still an ongoing question. SEPTA is supposed to be investigating how many exactly. The numbers are tough to nail down. They found 1,500 buses that had problems, but that doesn't account for the number of passengers who didn't have to pay on their rides. The people that are paying per ride on a key card is a percentage of a percentage of a percentage, but there's no question they're losing revenue.
And Harrisburg wants a head count. When it comes to funding, Harrisburg wants to know how many
they need
people
it.
Are.
Yeah, yeah, that is a basis for how SEPTA receives state money. And there's been other issues, too. There's been concerns about how accessible the card is to people who are poorer, who don't have bank accounts or credit cards. There's been concerns about businesses ripping off people who are trying to load money onto their key card at a convenience store, and the business is charging them a surcharge, which is not allowed.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to pay any extra money to use your card at these businesses. So these are some of the issues that are coming up. The project costs, it's up to, I think, close to $200 million now, which is many, many, many millions more than it was supposed to cost when it was initially conceived.
And yet a digital fare card is the mode of pay of the future, which is here now.
I think it's not, actually.
Really? Okay.
I think the mode of the future will be paying with your phone,
okay.
Having a system that you can kind of scan your phone screen, which is what we already are doing. I rode Amtrak yesterday, and my ticket was on my phone, and that was it. I didn't need a separate car. I didn't need an Amtrak car. I didn't need a paper ticket. I think that going forward, that's probably where transit agencies will be looking.
So should SEPTA have skipped the step?
Well, I don't know. So SEPTA's key is set up, in theory, to work with Apple Pay or, you know, any near-field communication credit card. So maybe they can be there. The real issue, I think, dialing it back, is that SEPTA hired a consultant to help them with SEPTA Key who builds bridges. They have a management team on the project that has no computer science background. And this is a computer science, this is a data management issue. And they, you know, really have just screwed up the management of this. I said earlier that SEPTA does a pretty good job managing stuff. They do a good job with the bridges and the catenary wire and things like that. They have absolutely just dropped the ball, and they continue. I don't think there's been a real rethink about how to fix it. And they're going to. It's not going to get any better anytime in the near future. I think this is going to be a long slog and really just a thing that they're going to be beaten up on for probably the next 5 years at a minimum.
All right. Email from Marianne, who asks, while the commentators mentioned considering the likes of Uber, what about rethinking public transportation to accommodate alternate forms of transportation? Bikes, electric bikes, scooters, probably a good time to bring in Connect, which is the ambitious transportation plan from Philly.
I think that's happening, actually. Yeah. What I said earlier about the city being more involved in transportation planning, I think that's part of what it is. This Connect plan takes into account bike lanes. It takes into account what they want to do with buses. It takes into account congestion, which is a major problem, not just for public transit, but for everybody in the city. So I think that there is a more holistic planning that's happening now from the city and from the Office of Transportation there, and that's a credit to the Kennedy administration.
And the city should be finishing up the regulations for scooters and dockless bike share pretty soon, and they expect a whole host of those companies to start offering their services sometime this spring. So you'll start seeing that pretty soon, maybe. That will have a positive effect on some of the congestion that we're seeing.
One Connect proposal is that Philly's colleges and universities provide free transit passes to students. How does this help, and how are institutions reacting?
So the idea there is you get kids young, and they'll get hooked on public transit. It also builds in institutional support from some of the most important players in the city, like Penn and Temple, to support transit initiatives. Knowing Penn students, I think they're still going to take Uber and Lyft everywhere. Knowing Temple students, I think that's going to be the same for most of it. I don't think it is nearly as big a deal as some of these advocates make it out to be. It's sort of a quixotic sort of thing, but I don't know. I don't think it would cost the city or SEPTA a lot. And more accurately, it probably wouldn't cost Penn and Temple and Drexel a whole lot to provide it to their students.
Jack sends an email. He says, SEPTA has an impressive tracking system for their buses, but I frequently see several buses trailing each other. Jason, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, that is not supposed to happen. that is a factor of poor planning and the congestion creating an issue for the buses. But that means that there's potentially one bus at the front of that line of buses that's got all the passengers, and then two buses behind it that essentially people aren't using because there's the bus that's right there. So that is one of the things that hopefully the redesign would address and get that spacing better. And have more communication so that a bus can realize, like, we need to adjust to this the congestion that's happening to make sure that we don't have this bunching effect.
Yeah, I was in London recently, and one thing that they do to prevent that is that buses will stop pretty regularly and go, we're just going to wait. We're going to stop and wait to ensure that there's proper spacing and that the buses are coming. It's not about when the bus comes. It's another thing with the frequency stuff. But about how frequently they come. Sure. So every 7 to 10 minutes. And they put that on every bus stop, has a schedule with a 7 to 10 minutes between these hours and a map that shows you where the bus goes. And we don't do that. Like, we don't think about how people use the system. We just expect basically everyone to do the grunt work to figure out the buses that they need to get to where they need to go, instead of making it something you can walk up to and figure out what you need to do.
And this plays into the next comment. This is from Patty. I don't believe SEPTA supervision and management are the least bit interested in improving service. I say that after 20 years of reporting some problem and getting only, we're sorry for your inconvenience. You know, they're costly disruptions, and I don't believe anyone at SEPTA is remotely sorry for them. She obviously has some pretty strong feelings about this. And again, we will have SEPTA on, you know, shortly, but in the near future, I should say. But, you know, how is customer service? How can it be improved, in your opinion, as reporters?
I don't think it's customer service. Yeah, they actually get pretty high marks for how they treat their customers. Their social media team is considered one of the best in like the nation and this sort of thing. I think what people are really upset about is the system not working the way they want it to. And I think there are some small things. UX design, user experience design. You know, the Septic Key kiosks are terribly designed. The website is atrocious. And it's just like indicative that they don't think about how people use the system. They think about making the system work well from an engineer's perspective, but not from the user's and the end user's perspective.
I think that somebody, the mention of the earlier person reached out to us who mentioned the app that has the real-time information on buses. I think that's a step in the right direction. I think people don't want to have to wonder where their ride is. I think that's when you talk about user experience, and it is kind of funny that customer service gets blamed, because that'd be like the signal from your tower being out and someone calling you about it. Well, I don't do that. I don't control the radio frequencies. But so the customer service people are just sort of there to say, I'm sorry, hope it goes better. I think giving people a really clear idea of where their ride is, when it's going to get there, is one of the most helpful things they can do. They do that with the app. They do not provide as much information as they should, particularly at train stations. It's anyone who uses regional rail knows it can be a crapshoot to figure out when your train's going to get there and if the information on the board is accurate. Getting back to something that Jim mentioned about the frequency and what people want the most is what they get on a subway for the most part. No one's looking at a subway schedule. When's the subway going to? I got to be here at 10:10 to get. You just show up and a train shows up. And that's how public transit should generally work, particularly when you're talking about bus service, trolley service. The idea that I don't need to check the schedule. I don't need to wonder if I'm going to be standing out in the rain. I'll be there, and in a couple of minutes, a ride's going to come along.
Increase the frequency.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what people want.
Noah tweets, what project or improvement do you think should be the number one priorities for SEPTA, and what are the obstacles preventing its implementation? Jim Saxa?
Oh, God. Can I punt to Jason? I don't know.
I would go with the bus system. There's so many people use that bus system. And it's the regional rail and trolleys obviously are more visible. But the bus network redesign would be a major, major improvement for a lot of people. It creates access for people who don't live near the city center for jobs. It improves people's mobility. There are people that have these horrendous public transit commutes that are riding an hour and a half, 2 hours to get from point A to point B. It's unclear how much that would be fixed, but anything that can get people where they're trying to go a little more faster and a little more reliably, I think, is the most important thing they could do.
And when can we expect to see the bus network overhaul actually?
2 to 3 years, they're saying they would come out with their design, saying here's what we want to do.
That'll be just the proposal. That's when you get down to brass tacks. That's when you're going to have the really big public hearings with all the shouting matches that are going to happen and people screaming bloody murder. So it'll probably be another year or two after that before anything happens. I'll have to tweak it, but yeah.
Okay. Quick tweet from Jeff. How does Paco get away with running 24-hour services South Jersey 7 days a week while SEPTA shuts down all service in the city by around midnight?
Because they have the funding from the bridge tolls.
There's your answer. Okay. All right. So our final question here, we've only got about 45 seconds less. In 5 years, where are we with public transportation in Philadelphia? What does it look like, Jason?
Probably not as changed as people would like. I think that the King of Prussia line, which is, I think, a 5-mile route, is going to cost more than $1 billion if that ever happens.
Not going to happen.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think you just take into account the vast amounts of money that it takes to make any major change. So I wouldn't say expect anything to be radically different in 5 years.
And Jim, in 20 seconds?
Yeah, I think it'll be slightly better. I think the changes are going to be unnoticeable to the naked eye, but things will get slightly better when you look at the data, essentially. No one will notice it. People will complain just as much.
Jim Saxa, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
So good to work with you. Jim reports on transportation for Plan Philly. Jason Lachlan, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you.
And Jason reports on transportation for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Don't forget to follow us at Radio Times on social media. Check out our podcasts, whyy.org/Radio Times. We'll get you there. Our engineer today has been Al Banks. Our producers, Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Thank you so much for listening.